You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Roto Experts, alongside the King, Scott Angle, and Wall Street Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. Corey Parson on the way in just a little bit. Scotty, how are you? Not doing great. Off to a poor start.
Yeah, well, it's fantasy week off to a poor start. I think I was telling you during the break. Like I said, you can't assume anything about blow-up performances. I had Keenan Allen in the Chargers defense, and going into last night, I just needed 6 points from Zach Ertz and Jake Elliott and didn't get it.
Insane.
Yeah.
Insane.
Insane in the membrane. Insane in the brain, Scott.
Yes. Yeah. There you go.
It was, man. You know, I feel you. I felt really good going into those 4 o'clock games. I felt really good at halftime of the 4 o'clock games. And then I didn't feel so good after the 4 o'clock games were over. But you know what? Listen, I'm in a spot personally. I need Julio Jones to just get 11 points tonight. I don't feel like it's a lot to ask for. Just want him to do his damn job against a battered Seattle defense right now without Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor. I just need Julio Jones to do his thing. Matt Modica, good morning.
Good morning. You know, week 11 is almost in the books. The playoff push is here, so it's put up or shut up time. It was an interesting day. Dak did kill me last night in one big league. But if you have Ingram and Kamara, post bye week, post Adrian Peterson trade, number one and number two.
It's unbelievable. We said it every week, and that was the game of the day yesterday, Washington and New Orleans. We're going to get into that right after the break. But listen, there is no, we've said it a lot over the past couple of weeks. There's no having to decide which one. There's no either or. It doesn't matter. 1-2, we can switch off every week. Who is 1 and 2? But ultimately, these guys are both RB1s. And as I'll say after the break, when Drew Brees needs to be Drew Brees, he still has it, too. His New Orleans team is rolling right along right now, and it's very, very fun to watch.
He did get helped out by that defensive penalty.
Certainly
he
did.
He really did, but he got the job done.
Yeah, they did. You know, that's a, you know, when you see a team win a game like that, and they're the first team in the Super Bowl year to ever start 0-2 and win 8 straight, you know, that's what winning teams are made of. You know, when you're on the brink of defeat and you find a way to pull it out like that, you know, and sometimes, like his point, you know, it takes a little bit of luck, but those are the kind of stories that Super Bowl runs are made of.
Yeah, you know, I think so as well. I think ultimately that was a big-time game. It was a big-time game for New Orleans on a Sunday where, you know, I feel like there wasn't much going on, personally.
Yeah, no, we're just getting back to one point. Good teams do create their own luck. It just seems to happen. And, you know, the Redskins just blew that game. And
I thought they were a good team to win.
I mean, how the hell did Kirk Cousins stay in that game?
I could not believe it. Like, he went down, and then he popped back up, and he's talking to Colt McCoy, and like, he's coming back. And
he's like, Colt, don't even put the helmet on.
Pretty much. I love Kirk Cousins. I will say this. I said this to all my Jet fans friends yesterday who I wound up being with. Any team that doesn't want Kirk Cousins to be their quarterback is an idiot. Like the the Redskins organization, if they don't sign him to this bajillion-dollar deal, they're ridiculous. Like, this dude went to Seattle and he won. Should have won yesterday. It wasn't his fault at all. In New Orleans against what Scott believes to be the best team in football, or out of the Patriots, especially in the NFC. Like, it's amazing. This guy is awesome.
Yeah, they could have won that game, but should've. It wasn't his fault.
No, absolutely not. We'll talk more. Redskins and Saints get into all of the games in Week 11 when we come back here on Roto Experts.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
I As I said, game of the day yesterday was between the Redskins and the Saints. It was a game where I'm still kind of confused, gentlemen. How did the Washington Redskins lose this game?
The defense just collapsed down the stretch, and you know the Saints took advantage. You know that's what a winning team does. Mark Ingram down the stretch was absolutely unstoppable when he got to the second level of defenders. They couldn't convert a short yardage play late on. You know, this is the difference between a winning and a losing team. A losing team can't finish, and a winning team finishes.
I don't think it's just as easy to say that.
Ultimately it comes to that.
That's such a grandiose statement where, like, 2 weeks ago, right, we lauded Washington for going into Seattle and a winning team, and they win. And now, I don't think Washington's a losing team. I mean,
I'm not saying overall. I'm saying, you know, in the scheme of things, yesterday, you know, that's the difference between a win and a loss.
Sure, and I agree with that. I don't want to use a statement that there's a difference between a winning team and a losing team. Yes, Washington made mistakes. They deserve to lose that game without question.
Yeah, but. What was the pass the rule that was ruled intentional grounding towards the end? That really set them back. And look, Mark Ingram just said, get on my back. We're going to win this game.
Yeah.
In the six games since their bye, he has 636 yards. He's averaging 5.6 yards per carry, has 8 touchdowns, and he's sharing a backfield with a phenomenal rookie. I got to see the interview last night by Deion Sanders. He had both of them in the locker room.
Okay.
And it was pretty cool. And he's like, I'm going to get you guys a nickname. And they had, like, the headphones, one in each ear. So it's great to see that, you know, the veteran and the rookie together. You know, it's not like there's any animosity there.
Yeah, but in the end, you know, it's the best backfield in the NFL. And you want to talk about the difference between the winning and losing. The Saints made history. And, you know, Washington probably killed their season yesterday. If, you know, you need to win that game, you have to win that game. You don't, you're... Your record is what it says you is. You have one nice win in Seattle to, like, remember the season by, but, you know, this is ultimately who they are.
They did lose their best player yesterday and possibly...
Yeah, you know, I don't want to come down so hard on Washington. This is, they played really well yesterday until, obviously, those last few minutes of this game. Like, I don't want to... I know they're 4-6. I get it. I don't know. I don't think they've been ravaged by injuries, this team.
I mean, from a fan...
They're not an awful team. You know, they're not the Browns or anything, but, you know, they're... You know, when you look back, you know, this is why you don't make the playoffs. It's You know, this is why you're not deserving of making the playoffs. True. Because if you don't beat who you're supposed to beat, like you...
Well, they weren't supposed to beat New Orleans in New Orleans yesterday.
I'm going on another point here. Hold on. You know, you look at Kansas City, if it comes back to bite them, like, they're lucky that they're in the division they are, because if they weren't going to make the playoffs, does that team deserve to, you know, be a playoff team when you go in and play a 1-8 team and you don't even score a touchdown?
Well, we'll get to Kansas City in a little bit.
I'm just saying, I'm making a comparison.
Hey, look, from a fantasy purpose yesterday with the Redskins, I mean, if you were able to get Samaje Perine this past week, you got to be pretty happy just based on volume. He's the last man standing. He had a good game yesterday, like 117
yards.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He got that rushing touchdown. So with Thompson probably gone, Kelly already gone, just on volume alone, he is somebody that may help you get into the playoffs and win a championship.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was more than the volume yesterday, you know, and I got absolutely killed for, you know, backing the guy, but you know, he's taking advantage of the opportunity.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you were wrong for 10 weeks, but in week 11, Chris Thompson breaks
his leg. I said, don't judge him on 3 games. You know, still got to see what he can do.
Chris Thompson breaks his leg. Rob Kelly out for the year. He is on IR. As Matt says, Samaje Perine, the last man standing. Unfortunately for you, if you're a Chris Thompson owner, because of how he's been the top 10 running back all year long, and this is a brutal loss for the Washington Redskins, because let's be real, their offense ran through Chris Thompson, right? Like, this was the offense in Washington. Now, you know, Scott, you become certainly right when it comes to Samaje Perine, and Matt, you also may be right going forward, because we may have seen the breakout game for Josh Doctson.
Yes, that's what I wanted to get to next. Doctson, I mean, people were saying maybe cut him, drop him this past week. He was a guy that should remain on your bench. There's a reason why we have fantasy benches, And I know everybody's so quick to drop people and pick up the next new thing, you know. But, you know, who's their receivers there? It's Doxson, Crowder. I mean, Pryor, who I believed in the preseason, I was a Pryor truther, is off the grid. I mean, he didn't even play yesterday. He was out and stuff. So he's off the grid. And I think at the end of that game, Vernon Davis was off the field. That's why Jeremy Sprinkle.
Correct. Vernon Davis was in and out of this one. He is okay. He finished 3-for-67. But yeah, I mean, it's Josh Doxson. It's Jamison Crowder. It's Ryan Grant in the slot. I mean, this is it. This is what you have now in Washington. Yeah,
to their credit, they're making the adjustments. You know, guys are not stepping up, and they're losing people. To Kirk Cousins' credit, you know, he's just adjusting and showing that he can use his other weapons, and that's a credit to him as an NFL quarterback. You know, you lose Thompson, who was one of their biggest weapons, but now he's getting everybody else involved. And to his point about Josh Doxson, he's starting to remind me of a young Marvin Jones, in that he's like, you know, this big play guy, you know, that they certainly go to downfield, much like Stafford does with Jones. And you know, if you cut Doxson and pick up Rod Smith, you're not feeling too good about it this morning.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually, and you know this, Matt, because you listened to the BFFs on Friday when the news came out with Leonard Fournette, and I was like, and we were on this all week in the Roto Experts. They're like, something was going on. Ultimately, it turned into nothing, and you had to make a snap decision to pick up Chris Ivory just because I wanted to have him. It was a first come, first serve. And one BFF said cut Doxson. The other one said cut Matt Breida.
I was having my lunch, and my tweet got like held up.
It got held up, so I didn't see it.
Purgatory for like a half hour.
So I didn't see it until after I already cut Doxson, and Matt's like, just cut the Hank. I was not playing this week, you moron. And I was like, oh, maybe that actually made a lot more sense. So whatever. So I wind up, this is a terrible story. So I cut Doxson, pick up Ivory. So I see a report yesterday morning at like 11:20 or so that Fournette's going to be active. It's coming from Mort. But I wanted to wait until the official active. It was like, I just wanted to make sure. So at 11:37 was the time I saw it. All right, I'm going to go re-pick up Doxson right now. First come, first serve. I missed it by 7 minutes. The person that owned TJ Yeldon said the same exact thing. I picked up Doxson, and I was just out of control, furious about it. It's my own fault. That's all I got to do.
Yeah, and just getting back to Kirk Cousins,
yeah.
I mean, that Ryan Grant play, if you watch that play, how Cousins was willing to stay in the pocket. I mean, he got nailed. They were blitzing. That's why Ryan Grant was just wide open. There was nobody there. But his ability to just stand in that pocket, take the hit that he knew was coming, and, you know, so, look, it's unfortunate for the Redskins, because I think they have they're a team that I don't mind watching. There's some of these.
Oh, NFL I love teams. Watching them.
That's what I'm saying. There's some of these NFL teams. It's like, oh my God. I know. This is just garbage.
But, most of them in the AFC.
Yeah. No, I mean, the AFC, it's happening. I can't believe it. I saw the Baltimore Ravens are a wild card team. I do not want that. I do not want the Ravens or the Dolphins in that Sunday, in that Saturday 4:30.
Get ready, baby.
Please. I don't think the Dolphins.
Get ready, Ravens Jaguars. Get ready for it.
Yeah, I was going Chargers. Over my head. It's going to be Ravens Jaguars.
God,
yep.
A defensive juggernaut.
I am fully behind the Chargers making that wild card. The sure. Chargers are right there, though.
Yeah, Chargers are 4-6 right now.
Yeah, the Chargers have no room for error. It's like one, two more losses.
One game
they're
behind
out.
The Ravens. I mean, I don't. How do they have no room for error?
One, two more losses, team. They'll probably be out of it.
But so are the Jets, Petey. 4-6, one game out. Let's go. Amazing, the AFC.
It really
absolutely
is.
Amazing.
You always get the feeling, though, that the Chargers are going to find a way to choke it while the Ravens are always going to be there somehow.
The Chargers find ways to lose games. It's just amazing.
It's the best.
There was some stat about that yesterday I saw. It's,
I mean, just go back to
over the last
two
years.
Last weekend. Sure. That game was won.
Done. Over.
And they just gave it to them. I mean, the beginning of the season, Young Ho missing kicks.
Yeah, Young Wei Kim missed 2 weeks in a row. Unbelievable. All right, losing teams, as Scott likes to say. Jamison Crowder continued on with his second consecutive game, being very, very strong, 7-for-72, 8 targets. With Chris Thompson's injury, I do believe Jamison Crowder's value is only continuing to go up, which is a good thing, of course, for his owners. And then, Vernon, I mean, you know what you got with Washington, which I think was really, really good for the Redskins. On the other side, it was just a monster day for both running backs in New Orleans, as Matt and Scott alluded to before the break. Mark Ingram, 11 carries, 134 yards. That's over 12 yards a pop, including a 36-yard touchdown. You also had Alvin Kamara, who on the running the ball averaged over 5 yards a carry, carried the ball 8 times for 42 yards, but also caught 6 passes for 74 yards and touchdown. And to show you that everything coming up, Saints, Breeze dumps it off to Kamara, who literally can't have the ball, pops it up, catches it, and then goes untouched in the end zone.
Somewhere, Pat Mayo was furious.
676 yards since the bye, 5 touchdowns.
Unbelievable. We take a break. When we come back, we continue talking about the Saints and go continue around the NFL. We do it next.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
New Orleans, the Saints, to beat Washington. As we said, the running backs get the job done. You know, it's really interesting. Michael Thomas' season to me is very interesting. Because what he did on Sunday, that is basically what he does every week. 6 for 91. He basically gets six catches between 80 and 110 yards every game. The only question is he going to get a touchdown? And most of the time, those answers have been no.
Yeah, the guy has won 100-yard game this year. I mean, you know there's a nice floor there this year, but it seems like there's no upside. He only has 2 touchdowns all season, and I don't remember the last time that he did just score a touchdown, but you can't bench him because, you know, it's like a guaranteed 12 to 16 points every week.
Okay, I mean, in a PPR, what I'm looking at here as far as points scored by wide receivers, and this is a guy, like you said, he's not had these blow-up monster games, has 152.3 points. That is 7th best on the season. He's averaging 15.2 points a game. I know people want that, you know, 28 points, 23 points week in, yes, week out. You're not getting. Only 2 receivers are averaging 20 points. That's Antonio Brown and DeAndre Hopkins.
And what's Thielen averaging?
Thielen is averaging 16.9.
Yeah, 17 points for Thielen. I mean, if you look at the first couple of rounds, Michael Thomas has been a really good pick. He's gone at the end of the first, beginning of the second. You're not losing in fantasy because of Michael Thomas.
You're absolutely not. He's been uber consistent. As Matt said, 152.3 fantasy points on the year, averaging just about 15.2 points per game. When you take out Odell Beckham, maybe you take Will Fuller. I don't know if you can do that, but he's basically number 7. I mean, he's 7 or 8 at best wide receiver, as a clear wide receiver 1. And if you took him, you know, at the end of the first round, beginning of the second, I understand you're not getting the blowout game, but you're getting consistency. He's not the reason.
Isn't that what you want, though?
Absolutely.
You don't want to bust. You want a guy that, look, if I'm told I can get a 15-point floor every single week, that's great.
Yeah,
just like you're not getting the ceiling. So, you know, how much are you really going to complain? The guy is closing in on Odell Beckham's record for, you know, most catches by a wide receiver in his first 2 NFL seasons.
Absolutely. He's been very, very consistent.
He's starting to remind me of what Marcus Colston used to be, except the one difference is Colston would score more and he would also get hurt more.
But, I mean, this is a different
offense
team.
Yeah.
I mean, what Mark Ingram is doing, I mean, what do you have? 11 carries, 134 yards. As I stated, he's averaging 5.6 yards per carry over the last 6 games. That's a hell of a yards per carry. Just to put it in perspective this season, Le'Veon Bell, after 10 games, is averaging 3.8.
Athletes talk about being in a zone, and the last 2 weeks, Mark Ingram looks like he's in the zone. He bursts, he explodes to that second level of defenders, and he streaks through every small hole, and then when he gets through the second level of defenders, he starts taking off. It's just like, you know, he looks like this spectacular running back the last 2 weeks.
And just on the rookie side of things, Alvin Kamara is now 9.2 points behind Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt has slowed down quite a bit. Kobe Fleener leads the way for New Orleans, or Tyler Michael Thomas. 5 for 91. He catches all 5 of his targets. And Ted Ginn Jr. continued his rampage of the year. His best season of his career, in my opinion. 6 for 87 for Ted Ginn Jr. yesterday.
Yeah, there's something of a floor there now, even though he did have like a one-point game that last week. I think that's kind of an anomaly, and there's always the tendency that he's going to explode at any time.
You wonder what was odd this week? There were four teams on a bye. When you think of, like, San Francisco, the Jets, you don't think that's really going to hurt you. But, I mean, not having Carlos Hyde. I mean, even the Panthers were on a bye. CMC. Robbie Anderson not being there for you as a wide receiver choice. But the good thing is there's no more byes.
It's over. We're full speed ahead the rest of the way. Absolutely.
I am welcoming back Carlos Hyde and CMC with open arms.
There you go. I want to move on. Nate Peterman yesterday for the Buffalo Bills was such an epic disaster, an epic and utter collapse of unbelievable proportions. It was a quarterback change that didn't need to happen. It happened. 9 passes later, he threw 4 interceptions.
Listen, I mean, I left the studio at like 4:20, 4:25. I live like 8 blocks away. By the time I got home, I think he had like 3 interceptions. It was insane. It was insane. It was a move that didn't look. Even if you don't think Taylor's the guy that's going to lead you to the promised land in the future or whatever, he still deserved a shot. He had the team in the wild card. Going cross country on a road game, you know, your team has been decimated, and they've been decimated on the defensive side. You know, the rushing touchdowns, the rushing yards over the last couple of weeks. And you put this kid in a spot, you pretty much divided the team. And what happened? You had to go back to Tyrod Taylor anyway.
Who didn't look bad, obviously.
No, he didn't. I mean, it was garbage time, but still.
Really judge him on that.
But still, it's like he's a better quarterback than that. It's. You know, with Peterman, it was incredible. Like, the stats that were rolled out there, you know, about his performance. This was the most interception by a quarterback in the first quarter since Patrick Ramsey of Washington in 1992. It got that bad. It's like, people were surprised that, like, he didn't actually come in early. And really, with Taylor, he comes in, even though it was garbage time, you see the playmaking ability there and just how much better. I look into these stats, like going into yesterday's game. Tyrod Taylor, since 2015, entering yesterday's game, was one of 3 NFL quarterbacks with 45 or more passing touchdowns and 10 rushing touchdowns over the last 3 seasons. He has a 1.54 career interception percentage, the lowest in NFL history among quarterbacks with 1,000-plus attempts. You go from a historically not mistake-prone quarterback to totally the other end. When this team doesn't make the playoffs, it's on the coach.
You want to just sum it up in a nutshell? Taylor had, what, 3 interceptions on the season going into yesterday's game? So, I mean, and Peterman had like 5 in the first quarter. So, look, I mean, I understand what Buffalo was trying to do. I think the GM and what he's been able to do with the scouting system he's put in place sounds very promising. But they've been a confused team pretty much all year. They were, you know, shipping out Sammy and acquiring draft picks.
Then they thought they were back in it.
They're trading for, yeah, but the Darius thing was a good trade for them because they're getting $54 million in cap space. Then they're trading for Benjamin. You know, it's like you can't be half pregnant.
Look how bad the run defense has been, though, since Darius left.
It has, but, I mean, Darius didn't play all the time. He was a head case, and it was a move that team needed to make. And I think this defense was playing over its head the first few games of the season. Very opportunistic. They got the turnovers, but they weren't that good.
They played like absolute dog crap yesterday, and Sean McDermott basically reacted to his defense playing like dog crap last week by benching his quarterback for no reason, and once again, the defense played terribly, and now the offense played terribly as well. That's what happens when you put Nate Peterman at quarterback. But the other side of it, It was good for Los Angeles. In fact, it was really good if your name was Keenan Allen.
Your boy.
My boy, Keenan Allen. If, you know, he's been a bit of a letdown all year. Yesterday, he got the blow-up game. 12 for 159 and 2, and the dude didn't play the fourth quarter. Just an awesome, awesome performance from Keenan Allen. It's good to see. His owners certainly were impressed, Scott.
Yeah, this was definitely a blow-up smash spot for him, and he took full advantage. It was the first time that he scored since week one and the first time he went over 70 yards since week four. Throwing it out there, if your trade deadline hasn't passed and some of them haven't, do you sell on Keenan Allen this week?
Well, I think that ultimately Keenan Allen is what he is, right? Like you know what he is. I don't think you're just now going to sell him after this. Like, he's Keenan Allen.
No, I'm not selling
What are you selling
him
for?
They got the Cowboys coming up this week. I mean, Keenan, in a PPR format, Keenan Allen is a guy. I don't expect a ton of touchdowns from Keenan Allen.
Sure.
I expect him to make a ton of catches, have yardage, and I want him on my team. He's kind of like a... Look, Jarvis Landry is fifth in... he's the number five wide receiver right now. Somehow he has six touchdowns. I don't know how he does it, but it's just... Jarvis Landry just makes so many catches. Forget it. Even forgetting the touchdowns. The yardage isn't there, but it's just the catches week in and week out. And in PPR formats, that's what you want.
100%. I agree. I'm not moving Keenan Allen. I own Keenan Allen in a league where you could trade him, and I'm not even remotely interested in looking.
Unless somebody's going to just feel like just overpay ridiculous.
Yeah, of course. But it's at any time for any player. So there's kind of my spiel on Keenan Allen. Everybody on Los Angeles got involved yesterday. We saw Mike Williams catch five passes for 38 yards. He was targeted eight times. Running game-wise, Melvin Gordon, 20 carries, 80 yards for him. And a touchdown. Austin Eckler gets a garbage time touchdown as well. So if you were desperate to start somebody in the flex, Austin Eckler got the job done for you.
Yeah, he delivered a few, but it was good to see Gordon bounce back and you kind of had the feeling he would after what happened last week. So very encouraging performance. He's been able to play through some injuries and still getting the job done here. The passing game opened up a lot of running lanes for him.
Yeah, but I mean, Austin Eclair has become this, you know.
I like how he's in Eclair to you.
Eclair.
Yeah, Austin Eclair.
Living on a player.
He's hungry.
Austin Eclair. Look, he's... It was good to see Melvin Gordon running the ball 20 times. If you're a Melvin Gordon owner, that's what you wanted to see. You had to have a little apprehension headed into that game yesterday just on the status of his health. And I know people want to talk about his yards per carry. I don't really give a damn about Melvin Gordon's yards per carry.
Doesn't matter.
It's all about the touchdowns.
As long as he's getting the attempts, getting the goal line work, catching passes, that's all I care.
Doesn't matter, ultimately. When we come back, Nathan Peterman got like negative 7 points in fantasy yesterday. And yet he wasn't the only starting quarterback that had negative points. And that one cost him. We'll talk about Dak Prescott and the Cowboys next.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
By the way, for Buffalo yesterday, it really was pathetic, as we said. And unfortunately, it got worse. Like, Kelvin Benjamin gets carted off the second play of the game.
We didn't even get to that.
We didn't get to that, right? Like, Kelvin Benjamin, their prized acquisition, carted off.
I felt like I was watching... I felt like the Mets and the Bills are, like, merged together. The two teams I root for in baseball and football. It's like the things that get done are just so similar.
Incompetence, I think, is the word you're looking
pretty
for.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I think it's more pronounced with Buffalo.
Oh, of course you do.
Unfortunately.
The Mets are a joke. The Mets are a joke every year.
The Mets made the World Series in 2015. The Bills haven't been in the playoffs in 17 years.
Yes, of course.
Bills were in the Super Bowl for 4 years running. And then
I'm talking about,
but it was a long time ago.
The Mets have more World Series since before the Bills were in the Super Bowl.
I'm saying, though, the Bills have had like a long-standing drought.
Listen, Sussman was on this earth.
I am an objective observer, having no care of the Bills or the Mets. I'm saying the Mets, when it comes to something like injuries, where you have a Cespedes with his stupid hamstring, they throw him back out there anyway, and he gets injured for half the year? Incompetent. When you have the Bills bench their quarterback for no reason? Incompetent. It's the same level of incompetence.
There's some similarities, and there's other things that are not similar.
Of course. They're not the exact same. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. So there you go. So poor Kelvin Benjamin, he was carted off, as we said, yesterday. He started LeSean McCoy, which obviously he did. He had a very good game for
you. He did, you know.
Really good
game. Despite the fact that, you know, they had Peterman in there, et cetera, it's like he was just ripping off long run after long run.
First couple, like, I can't
give the guy a lot of credit. I salute him.
Yeah, I was walking home, and I'm checking out the stats, and he's got like 76 yards and a touchdown. Boom.
He looked great.
Two guys who ran very admirably in very adverse situations yesterday. I tip my hat to LeSean McCoy and Alfred Morris.
Yeah, we'll get to Alfred Morris in just a second.
I know, but I just, you know, no those
problem.
Two guys.
No problem. I thought LeSean McCoy yesterday looked awesome. There's a ton of running room. He looked spry. He played hard into the end. Oh, man. I'm seeing the highlight.
He did tweet out before they were leaving a business trip. So at least he was, you know, at least he showed up.
Well, because, you know, L.A., there's a lot of things you can do in L.A. more than you can do in Buffalo, as you well know, Matt Modica. So I thought he looked good. Poor Charles Clay. If you're Charles Clay and you threw him out there, you feel like crap this morning. Because the dude immediately got a touchdown, offensive pass interference, gets called back. Next play, back to Charles Clay for the wide open touchdown. He just drops it. Next play, touchdown, LeSean McCoy. Brutal. Yeah.
That was kind of payback for earlier in the year when LeSean McCoy is watching everybody else score his touchdowns.
That's true.
Inside injuries was saying, you know, he's not quite 100% and probably won't be for another 2 weeks.
That's not the reason he dropped the football.
He was invisible for a lot of the day, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't really. I don't think that was really his fault. It was Nathan Peterman's fault, really. Yeah. Zay Jones led the team with 4 for 68. Good for you, Zay Jones.
I think Zay Jones is probably going to be, you know, Benjamin's out. Like, he was really showing, like, you know, especially during that game against the Jets. Like, especially if this team's going to be playing catch up, Zay Jones is a thing, I think.
And hopefully, you know, we saw versus the Jets, he was in the slot. That's the position he needs to play.
Agreed.
And, you know, now, who else do they have?
Well, with Benjamin's injury now, he goes back to the outside, which is an issue.
Yeah, that's the one thing to be worried about.
With Taylor in there, you know, Clay is obviously a thing way more than Peterman. I guess anybody is. But I think Zay Jones, you know, is starting to come along here.
Have you guys ever seen anything like this? Nathan Peterman finishes the day with negative 6.96 points.
I don't remember the last time off the top of my head if I've seen something like that.
Yeah, I'm sure there's been a couple of games like this.
This is as bad as I've ever seen it.
Yeah, but I can't remember. Like, nobody started him. Maybe the two-quarterback league they did.
He might be desperate enough in a two-quarterback league. Yeah.
And what was I felt bad for him, and what made it worse was I understood, look, the coach was being stubborn because he made this move, and it was a horrifically bad move, and he didn't want to just yank him right out when, you know, pretty much should have.
Sure.
But, you know, he had to.
He had to do it at halftime, and he went back to his talented quarterback, Tyrod Taylor. Now, Scott, you don't remember of a time where you've ever seen negative 6.96. Not that it didn't happen, but nothing comes to your mind. Do you remember a day where not one, but two quarterbacks scored negative points on a day, including one that was started by 99% of fantasy owners yesterday?
Yeah, but I guess what people say, the next time somebody says that to me, I'll say November 19th, 2017, because I can't record one before that, and I've been doing this for two decades now.
And there you go. 99% of you started Dak Prescott.
Two leagues I did.
And 99% of you got negative 1.2.
In one league that I'm partners with Andy Saxton, shout out to him. I texted him yesterday, I'm like, Dak's on the bench. We got Cousins in there. So he's like, yeah, if you want. So I put Dak in and took Cousins out in that league. That was not a good move. That was probably a 37.
It wasn't easy, though. Tough, you know, tough matchup for both. But, you know, to your points with Dak Prescott, it's just, you know, you can say all you want about not having, you know, Smith on the offensive line. The Elliott thing, yeah, you know, he's a superstar player, but, you know, Alfred Morris is still running the ball well. It's just, you know, without Sean Lee, and Sean Lee's always injured, though, it's like the defense is worse than it was last year. Mm-hmm. The offensive line is not as good as what last year. Overall, even without Smith, you know, you're seeing breakdowns on it. It's, he's not stepping up and carrying the team, and like, you know, like we expected. I'm disappointed in Dak Prescott. It's, you know, it's not just getting sacked. You know, it's losing the ball, just, you know, making bad throws, etc. You know, he's really declined. Like I felt like, you know, throughout the first 8 or 9 weeks, like sophomore slump is nonsense. And it's like all of a sudden it's hitting a big way. I expected a guy like this to step forward and, you know, take the team on his shoulders and produce good fantasy points in the process. And he's been a huge disappointment.
He's been in the last couple of weeks. But, I mean, let's look at this team. Let's look at the loss of Tyrone Smith, the loss of Ezekiel Elliott. And I don't care if he finishes the line, Alfred Morris, whatever he had, 11 carry. He had a nice game, yes. But you take out two stud offensive players on that team, one on the line, a running back who last year was, you know, rookie of the year, you know, I mean, I don't know. You're taking a lot out on him. And then your defense can't stop anybody. So now you're even adding that pressure. I'm not trying to make excuses for him, but I think you got to look at it that, you know, you took a lot of pieces away from him, and it changes. It changes everything. And, you know, the guy's getting... When you have no protection at all and you're getting hit and you're getting forced to throw the ball sooner, it's going to change your outlook.
Well, that, I think that's part of it, but the rest of the line hasn't played well. And you can say, okay, you took away Elliott, which I said, but the running game is still there. You know, it's still getting the support of the running game. You know, and I'll make this comparison. It's like Russell Wilson doesn't have blocking. Russell Wilson doesn't have a running game. He does have a defense, but, you know, he stepped up with other things, you know, not being there.
So I don't know that Russell Wilson, I don't know if he'd be able to do this in his second year either. You're right. Absolutely right. Right now he can.
Yeah.
But their defense in his second year, they won the Super Bowl, was the best defense in the NFL. Dallas defense sucks.
You have to look at it, too. The pressure of having to score or get on the board. You know, especially when you're playing the team, you know, one of the best offenses in the league.
Right.
I mean, look, I don't care what Alfred Morris finishes with on the day, but, I mean, I don't know. For me, I'm not a Cowboy fan by any means. I didn't think the Cowboys would win 10 games this year. The last year was a perfect storm for them. But 2 weeks ago, Dak was a top five, maybe top three quarterback.
Yeah.
Now he's garbage.
I don't think he's garbage. If you look at two garbage weeks.
That's what people are starting to say now. I think
it's more of a thing like I expected him to be able to step up in adversity and at least, you know, give me some garbage time fantasy points, and he can't even do that.
Yeah, people are extreme.
He can bounce back, though.
He will
bounce back. This week, I tell you that much.
Who's he playing?
They're playing Joey Bosa's coming to town.
Oh, the Chargers on Thursday.
Yeah, so,
right.
I mean, think about what Claiborne was able to do, and you saw last night.
Yeah.
Joey Bosa was amazing. Joey Bosa's been a great draft pick for the Chargers.
Yeah, and that defense has been phenomenal. Gotten healthier now. You know, they've gotten Perriman back. Mm-hmm. You know, and the Cowboys have given up, you know, a dozen sacks in the last two games. It's not good, but, you know, I remember that game in Denver where they lost earlier this year, and, you know, he was able to lead them in comeback script, you know, and I thought you would see more of that, but there are other factors. It's an avalanche and a combination of factors, to Matt's point. It's like Dez Bryant just, you know, he just does not look good at all.
They don't have any separators. None of their receivers can separate, and I don't...
That's a big part of it, too, the pass catcher.
Before the last 2 weeks, I don't know how many times Dak was sacked this year, but, what, 8 against Atlanta, 4 yesterday. That doesn't include how many times he's been hurried and hit and stuff. So,
yeah, look, it's a great point. It's like,
just snowballing on
him. What are the pass catchers right now? It's like Dez Bryant is a disappointment, and you know Jason Witten's towards the end of his career, and you really have nothing else. So, you know, the sacks, how much of it is on the offensive line? You know, there are a lot of situations where guys are just not getting open, and he's trying to extend the play, and nothing's happening. You know, everybody ultimately blames it on the quarterback, but just about everything, I think, except for the running game, is falling apart
and
around him.
Let's just remember with this offensive line coming into the year, they lost two pieces from last season. It wasn't the great line of the great Cowboys line of past years. And now when you lose Smith, it's even so much more of an indictment of this line that there's nobody that... I mean, the guy that filled in last week was named Chaz...
Chaz Wheeler, that's a Giants tackle. Whatever that guy's name is. Whatever, Chaz Green.
Yeah, he was horrific. The guy last night was better. You have to admit that.
Sure. Byron Bell. That,
but, you know, and now it's a short week. Chargers coming off a really good game. I mean, you're hoping if you have to roll with Dak, you're hoping he's getting some points in this. But I'm going back to Matt Ryan.
We'll talk more about Dak Prescott and the Cowboys when we come back and wrap up the hour. We'll talk about the Eagles, too. It's Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
Before we hit the break, we were talking about certainly Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. Let me read you Dak Prescott's final line here. 145 yards passing. He threw for 3 interceptions. He also fumbled the football. It was 4 turnovers for Dak. And one of the things I know that Dak Prescott prided himself on was he just didn't turn the ball over, right? You saw the stat last night. He had, no interceptions coming out of the play action, or 1 interception in his career coming out of the play action. It happened last night. He just simply was not good. He, you know, there were certain times where he was able to break free a little bit, have some room, and then there's no one to throw to, and ultimately he was taken down. Unfortunately, Dak Prescott just did not have it against Philadelphia.
Yeah, last night he was 1 interception short of his entire total for all of Correct. Last season. So it's a lot of pressure on him, but you know, I figure, you know, he's got to step up and at least be competent here. I think everything except for the running game around him is like completely falling apart here. And you know, I know we'll get to this, sorry if I'm jumping ahead, but just like, you know, when they're playing from behind, throwing to the running back is just not a thing. It never was with Ezekiel Elliott,
yeah.
And I don't think it's going to be now. It's just not what Dak does, unless they say to him, look, it's something you have to do, or he figures he has to do it because he can't depend on his pass catches.
So I completely agree, Scott. Like, I think we speculated on this Dallas Cowboys running game and what the deal is with Ezekiel Elliott being out. And I think, Matt, the answer was just always very simple right in front of our eyes. It was the backup running back was Alfred Morris, and that was it. There's no other thing you have to worry about. Jerry McFadden was inactive. Rod Smith seemingly got all of his carries in garbage time. Like, it's Alfred Morris. That's it.
Yeah, no, the Rod Smith thing didn't happen as much as we tried to push it. It did not come to fruition. It is Alfred Morris, but I think more of an indictment is on the Cowboys coaching staff as well. They didn't make any adjustments versus Atlanta the week prior. And then, you know, last night, you got to have a better game plan. You got to be able to somehow help with the protection. And look, they only got a short week. They got to do something. Because, like I said, Joey Bosa's coming. And they have a good secondary, the Chargers. So we will see what will happen. But, you know, I do think at some point Dak's got to turn it around.
Rod Smith now droppable, gentlemen?
I would think so. Unless you're an Alfred Morris owner and you want the handcuff for the rest of the way. Because I think it would be probably Rod Smith before Darren McFadden. But I would say in most cases, he is droppable. He caught four passes last week, but he wasn't even targeted last night.
I would agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could drop him, but I mean, I'm not just going to drop him for nobody. It depends on who I'm picking.
He's a cut candidate.
Yes.
Yes, I have zero issue. I have zero issue dropping him, for the record. So I'll drop Rod Smith, no problem. That was one that just didn't happen. And it was so funny. Like, we speculated for so long. We did so many shows and so many segments based on who the running back will be if Ezekiel Elliott gets suspended. And the answer was just so simple. It was his backup.
I'm not thrilled to be putting Alfred Morris out there neither.
Because it doesn't bother me.
I don't think I'd be disappointed.
It doesn't bother me at all because the offense that they want to run is the same. Give the ball to Alfred Morris repeatedly and ball control offense. The problem was the defense is so terrible.
Yeah, but the defense isn't getting better anytime soon. There's no Sean Lee. So, I mean, look, the odds of him getting double digits are all touchdown dependent. You know, he has to get a touchdown.
And that's the point Matt likes to bring up. In a PPR league specifically, he's a lot like Jordan Howard, who had a great day yesterday. He's a lot like Jordan Howard, where he's not going to catch anything out of the backfield. It's literally whenever he gets on the ground, if he scores or not.
Who would you rather start going forward? Samaje Perine or Alfred Morris?
Close. It's close.
I'm going Perine.
Well, you're going Perine.
I think it's very close when
he's going to catch Thompson's ball. Do you think Kirk Cousins is going to throw him out of the backfield?
I think he'll catch a couple passes. I don't think he's going to catch a ton of passes. But look, it's better offense right now. He's getting all of the work. And I think the Cowboys are going to be in this position where this defense is so bad that they're going to have to. They're going to want to run it, but can they run it? I don't think so.
It was a historically bad loss for them, but I felt Rob Morris went really, really well. And it was the same thing against Atlanta in the beginning of the second half, so I don't think he's irrelevant.
I think teams are going to let them run. You know, be more aggressive.
We'll talk more about this game. We'll talk about the Eagles and bring Corey Parson and his thoughts. All that as we begin hour number two. Next.